The vice presidents had to have windows in two directions, so it was out of that desire that we came up with the design, explained the Bethlehem executive. In his book, Crisis in Bethlehem, John Strohmeyer details a culture as far to the other end of the continuum from Nucor as you can imagine. He describes a fleet of corporate aircraft, used even for taking executives' children to college and flitting away to weekend hideaways. He describes a world-class 18-hole executive golf course, an executive country club renovated with Bethlehem corporate funds, and even how executive rank determined shower priority at the club. We came to the conclusion that Bethlehem executives saw the very purpose of their activities as the perpetuation of a class system that elevated them to elite status. Bethlehem did not decline in the 1970s and 1980s, primarily because of imports or technology. Bethlehem declined first and foremost because it was a culture wherein people focused their efforts on negotiating the nuances of an intricate social hierarchy, not on customers, competitors, or changes in the external world. From 1966, at the start of its buildup, to 1999, Nucor posted 34 consecutive years of positive profitability, while over those same 34 years, Bethlehem lost money 12 times, and its cumulative profitability added up to less than zero. By the 1990s, Nucor's profitability beat Bethlehem's every single year, and at the end of the century, Nucor, which had been less than a third the size of Bethlehem only a decade earlier, finally surpassed Bethlehem in total revenues. Even more astounding, Nucor's average five-year profit per employee exceeded Bethlehem by almost 10 times. And for the investor, a dollar invested in Nucor beat a dollar invested in Bethlehem Steel by over 200 times. To be fair, Bethlehem had one giant problem not faced by Nucor: adversarial labor relations and entrenched unions. Nucor had no union and enjoyed remarkably good relations with its workers. In fact, when union organizers visited one plant, workers felt so ferociously loyal to Nucor that management had to protect the union organizers from workers who began shouting and throwing sand at them. But the union argument begs a crucial question. Why did Nucor have such a better relationship with its workers in the first place? Because Ken Iverson and his team had a simple crystalline hedgehog concept about aligning worker interests with management interests, and, most importantly, because they were willing to go to almost extreme lengths to build the entire enterprise consistent with that concept. Call them a bit fanatical if you want, but to create great results requires a nearly fanatical dedication to the idea of consistency within the hedgehog concept.